Laudato Jesus Christus, Vatican and World News.
In the headlines this Friday, October the 23rd, the Bishop of Lagos in Nigeria calls for prayers for peace in the country that is rocked by demonstrations that have seen scores of people being killed. Pope Francis says it's necessary to foster dignity and combat poverty in order to care for creation. And the Apostolic Penitentiary extends indulgences for the faithful departed during the month of November. In the Vatican, I'm Linda Bordoni. In Nigeria, President Buhari has called for an end to street protests in the country as authorities in the commercial capital Lagos struggle to enforce a curfew imposed to contain anger over a crackdown on anti-police protesters. Rights groups claim that scores of people have been killed by security forces during the demonstrations. Meanwhile, in the wake of weeks of the hashtag #EndSARS protests against police brutality and bad governance, Archbishop Alfred Martins of Lagos is calling for prayers for peace for Africa's most populous nation. Father Benedict Mayaki reports.
For the next 9 days, from the 23rd to the 31st of October, the Archbishop invites priests to celebrate at least one Mass a day for peace, for the repose of the souls of those who had died during the protests, and for the consolation of their families. In addition, he is encouraging the faithful to say a prayer for Nigeria in distress, to pray the rosary, and to also say a prayer to St. Michael the Archangel. He notes in a letter released on Thursday that the last few weeks have been filled with mixed emotions, as there has been a general outrage at the way young people have been treated by police and other security agencies. For the past 2 weeks, Nigerian youths, mobilizing through social media, began staging demonstrations in cities across the nation, calling for the disbandment of the Special Anti-Robbery Squad, also known as SARS, which they accuse of brutality, extortion, unlawful arrests, and extrajudicial killings. With the demonstrations growing in size, the government announced the dissolution of the controversial unit on the 11th of October, replacing it with a Special Weapons and Tactics Unit. This announcement, however, did not satisfy the protesters, who viewed it as an empty renaming exercise devoid of any real structural reform. So far, Amnesty International reports that at least 56 people have been killed since the beginning of these protests, the majority of whom were killed during mass shootings in the Lagos suburbs of Lekki and Alausa on Tuesday. Lamenting this in his letter, Archbishop Martins noted that the bishops had warned that dialogue and not force is the way out of the situation. He appealed to the government to heed to the call of the UN and investigate how the mass shootings came to be. I'm Father Benedict Mayaki.
Libya's warring factions have signed an agreement on a permanent ceasefire after 5 days of talks in Geneva. The deal between military leaders from Libya's government and those from opposition forces led by General Khalifa Haftar was brokered by the United Nations. Its Libya envoy called the agreement a crucial sign of hope for the Libyan people. Libya has been riven by violence since Colonel Gaddafi was deposed by NATO-backed forces in 2011. European governments are battling to contain a massive wave of new coronavirus infections. In the most dramatic move so far this season, the French government is imposing a curfew on two-thirds of the country after strict measures in other nations. Stefan Boss reports that the impact of the virus has also impacted Eastern Europe.
Some 46 million people were preparing to go into night lockdowns in France on Friday after authorities recorded nearly 42,000 coronavirus infections in a day. A week ago, authorities introduced curfews in the capital Paris and 8 other French cities. Now 38 more areas will have curfews from 9 p.m. to 6 a.m. The curfews, which will last for 6 weeks, come as elsewhere in Europe governments race to contain the potentially deadly virus. In neighbouring Belgium, Prime Minister Alexander De Croo stopped short on imposing another full lockdown, as the country did in March. But he introduced a series of new restrictive measures on youth, cultural and sports events, as the number of COVID-19-related hospital admissions and deaths continues to soar.
Het worden moeilijke dagen, moeilijke weken, waarschijnlijk moeilijke maanden.
It will be difficult days, difficult weeks, and perhaps even difficult months, the Prime Minister says. From Sunday, our nights will become once again darker. But if you have enough strength, offer your shoulder on which the weak can lean, that can bring light in the dark days of October and November. Belgian authorities claim the health situation is dramatic in 9 out of 10 provinces. They warn that intensive care units will hit their capacity by mid-November if new coronavirus cases increase in the same pace. Further away, Portugal is imposing a lockdown on 3 northern districts, affecting 150,000 people, and the whole country will have restrictions on movement for next week's holiday weekend. Greece has declared a night curfew in Athens and other areas, which will come into force Saturday. The virus also impacts Eastern Europe. In the Czech Republic, Prime Minister Andrej Babiš has urged Health Minister Roman Primula to resign. His demand came after a tabloid newspaper published photos of the minister emerging late at night, without a mask, from a restaurant that was supposed to be shut. In Poland, the government has declared the nation a red zone of strict anti-COVID-19 restrictions starting Saturday, just short of a lockdown. Here in Hungary, commemorations of the country's crushed 1956 revolution against Soviet domination were scaled back, besides other restrictive measures. For Vatican Radio, Vatican News, I am Stefan Bos in Budapest.
Pope Francis today told participants in an online conference that we live in a time in which there is an urgent need for a new and more inclusive socio-economic paradigm that reflects, he said, the truth that we are a single human family. His words came in a message to an international online meeting entitled New Ways Towards an Integral Ecology. The meeting was organised by Eco One, the ecological initiative of the Focolare movement, in collaboration with the Dicastery for Promoting Integral Human Development and the Global Catholic Climate Movement. He focused on how we must care for the world from a variety of perspectives, ethical, scientific, social and theological, and said he trusts that the Focolare movement will be able to do much to promote awareness and action thanks to their recognition that everything is connected, and that concern for the environment needs to be joined to sincere love for our fellow human beings and an unwavering commitment to resolving the problems of society. Thus, the Pope called for a profound conversion, both on a personal and communal level, and for solidarity that, he said, demands a firm willingness to develop and implement practical measures that foster the dignity of all persons in their human, family and work relationships, while at the same time combating the structural causes of poverty and working to protect the natural environment. Meanwhile, a two-week-long international conference organised by the institution Centesimus Annus Pro Pontifice kicked off on Friday on the theme The Milestones of the Integral Ecology for a Human Economy. Francesca Merlo tells us more.
The conference, entitled The Milestones of the Integral Ecology for a Human Economy, kicks off on Friday the 23rd of October with a video message from the Vatican Secretary of State Cardinal Pietro Parolin and consists in 2 online meetings 1 week apart. The first will focus on governance and business models, while the second, on the 30th of October, will focus on education and training. The institution Centesimus Annus Pro Pontifice owes its name and birth to the encyclical Centesimus Annus, published by Pope John Paul II in 1991. According to their website, the institution's idea and purpose is heartfelt endorsement of papal social teachings and committed support to the Holy Father's charitable initiatives. It is a non-profit corporation with purposes of religion and charity, with a specific goal to help promote the study and diffusion of the social doctrine of the Catholic Church, as set out in particular by Pope John Paul II's encyclical Centesimus Annus. Immediately after Cardinal Parolin's video messages played, calling for a moment of prayer, speeches were followed by authoritative speakers of international level introduced and moderated by Dawn R. Elm, Professor of Business Ethics and Management at St. Thomas University in Minnesota. Simultaneous translations into English, Italian, French and Spanish will be available to facilitate the widest possible participation. I'm Francesca Merlo.
And as Francesca said there, one key speaker at the conference, held by the Centesimus Annus Pontifical Foundation today was Vatican Secretary of State Cardinal Pietro Parolin. In his video message, he contributed some of his thoughts about integral ecology and human economy in the context of Pope Francis's appeal to change the course of human events.
Much has changed in this year and a half. The world has been shaken by the crisis caused by the COVID-19 pandemic, which has exposed our false securities and forced us to face our fragility as finite creatures. The pandemic has reaped hundreds of thousands of victims and is changing our lifestyles. It is also raising many doubts and misgivings about the economic systems of our societies. In this regard, I think it is helpful to reflect on the significant message of Pope Francis at the extraordinary moment of prayer in time of epidemic celebrated in St. Peter's Square on 27 March 2020. The Holy Father invites us to seize this time of trial as a moment of decision. It is not the time of your judgment, O Lord, but of our judgment, a time to choose what matters and what passes away, a time to separate what is necessary from what is not. It is a time to get our lives back on track with regard to you, Lord, and to others.
And that was Cardinal Pietro Parolin, Vatican Secretary of State, addressing the Centesimus Annus Conference. Many of the Church's pastors have requested an adaptation to the requirements to obtain the plenary indulgence for the deceased in the month of November. Thus, by the special mandate of His Holiness Pope Francis, the Apostolic Penitentiary released today some changes to the normal practice. The decree containing these modifications was signed on the 22nd of October, the liturgical memorial of Pope St. John Paul II. Sister Bernadette Rees tells us more.
The plenary indulgence for the deceased, associated with a visit to a cemetery between the 1st and the 8th of November, can be obtained by anyone who visits a cemetery, even if only mentally, on any day in November, and devoutly prays for the faithful departed. Regarding the plenary indulgence attached to All Souls' Day, the 2nd of November, this year it can be obtained not only on the preceding or succeeding Sunday or on the actual feast day, but on any other day of the month, chosen by each member of the faithful. In this case, the indulgence is obtained by devoutly visiting a church or an oratory, along with the recitation of the Our Father and the Creed, and the other requirements associated with a plenary indulgence. For anyone who cannot leave their homes for various reasons, including anti-COVID restrictions in place, they too can obtain the plenary indulgence by uniting themselves spiritually to other members of the faithful. In this case, the condition of being completely detached from sin and the intention of completing the other requirements for obtaining a plenary indulgence remain. These conditions are sacramental confession, reception of Holy Communion, and a prayer for the Holy Father's intentions. The decree suggests that such prayer take place before an image of Jesus or the Blessed Virgin Mary. Among the various prayers that are recommended are prayers for the deceased, morning or evening prayer from the Office of the Dead, the Rosary, the Divine Mercy Chaplet, meditating on various gospel passages proposed for the Liturgy of the Dead, or completing a work of mercy by offering to God the suffering and discomforts of one's own life. Directing a word to priests, the decree asks that they make the sacrament of confession generously available and that they make Holy Communion available to the sick. In addition, all priests are invited to offer three masses on All Souls' Day. I'm Sister Bernadette Rees.
That's all for this evening. Thanks to Roberto Colangeli in studio. I'm Linda.